Question about the fasts. Note in particular that the fourth year of Darius's reign was a good year, as far as the outlook of the Jews at that time was concerned. All things appeared to be moving on smoothly. The evidence was promising for the remnant who had returned to the land. Every hindrance to the completion of the building of the temple had been removed by the royal decree of Darius, recorded in Ezra 6, chapter, verse 1. We also learn from that book this was 2 years before the completion of the temple, which later was in the sixth year of Darius, Ezra chapter 6, verse 15. We say that things were running smoothly. The Jews were optimistic and enthusiastic, and this apparent prosperity gave rise to the question as to whether the returned captives should continue to observe the days of national sorrow and fasting, which had been instituted in commemoration of the destruction of the temple and the city at the beginning of the 70 years' captivity in Babylon. It was the inhabitants of Bethel, see Revised Version, who took the initiative to bring this matter up before the priests. They sent two of their prominent citizens, Sherezer and Regemelech, and their men, probably attendants, to entreat the favor of Jehovah and to speak unto the priests relative to the question of fasting, Zechariah chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. In the Authorized Version, the text reads, "They had sent unto the house of God." The Revised Version reads, "Now they of Bethel had sent," which undoubtedly is correct, for though Bethel means house of God, it is never used of the temple, but always of the town of that name in Ephraim. It was one of the great centers of the false worship set up by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The latter fact, no doubt, accounts for the sharp words with which Jehovah addressed these deputized men, verse 4, for this other center was not acknowledged by the Lord. But there is special significance in that these men were sent from Bethel to Jerusalem. It shows that the former bitterness and jealousy were forgotten. The lessons of the captivity were not lost upon the returned exiles. They were admitting that Jeroboam and his secession from Judah were wrong. They were owning Jerusalem as the place of worship. The men whose fathers were formerly identified with the northern ten-tribed kingdom no longer were cherishing hopes of a separate dynasty nor looking for another place of worship. This was no little concession on the part of those men of Israel. It teaches that the paramount yearning was for the unity of the nation, which no doubt will be in great manifestation when the Jews are again a recognized people in their own land. However, the answer of the Lord to those distinguished visitors was anything but encouraging. In fact, we would say it was quite a rebuke. He said to Zechariah, "Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even though 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves?" Zechariah 7, verses 5 and 6. We have in these words of Jehovah a marvelous commentary on fasting. The Jews had religiously kept up their fasting times to commemorate the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the murder of Gedaliah, Jeremiah 52, verses 12 through 14, and 2 Kings 25, verse 25. They were thorough and earnest about their fasts. They took them seriously, and not only abstained from food and drink as well, from one sunset to the other, which is the case yet with Jewish fasts, but they also mourned and lamented as though for the dead. Here is the strange part. The observance of those fasts was a matter of perfect indifference to the Lord, because they were entirely self-centered. They fasted not unto the Lord, not because they were repentant before God, but because they were sorry for themselves. Furthermore, they were self-imposed and deemed meritorious before God. That same concentration was apparent in their feasts as well as fasts. They ate and drank for themselves, hence their feasts and fasts were nothing to the Lord. There was no merit in either the one or the other. The same principle holds good today, whether in the case of Jew or Gentile, saint or sinner. We do not obtain God's favor by any self-effort. Faith is the victory always. The many precepts and commandments of the Lord may all be summed up in these all-comprehensive words of the apostles' exhortation, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God," 1 Corinthians 10:31. There are multitudes of scriptures in the former prophets which bear witness to the truth of what Zechariah here affirms, namely, God's repudiation of mere outward acts of religious observances, and especially of fasting, as being in any way pleasing to him. We read, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find your own pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and contention, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye fast not this day so as to make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I have chosen? The day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a rush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord?" Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 5, the Revised Version. To obey God is better than sacrifice. It is the great principle enunciated by the prophet Samuel in his scathing words to Saul, who had deliberately disobeyed him under the pretext of sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. What attention does God pay to outward form of any kind if the heart is not right with him? Feast days, fast days, prayer days, or prayerless days are all rated the same by the Lord, as his words to Zechariah here imply. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in his heart." Zechariah chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. The Lord definitely announces the manner of fasts in which he delights. The same instructions are given us by Isaiah and other prophets. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?" Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 8, Revised Version. Zechariah does not quote the former prophets, but gives the substance of their words clothed in new language by the direct inspiration of God. Furthermore, in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 through 12, he tells the people that their fathers refused to hearken to their prophets. They pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Then follows the description of the manner in which this wrath was shown out. Solemn are the words. "It came to pass that as he had cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah 7:13. In these words, the history of the Jews for the past 1900 years has been verified. They are also a warning to sinners, whether Jew or Gentile, who scorn the reproof and admonition of the word when they hear it, or worse, mock at it as some do, for the time will come when they will call and God will close his ear to their cry, even as he did to the nation. The last verse announces the chastisement of Israel for their treatment of his words. "But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate." Zechariah 7, verse 14. "I scattered them," or "I will toss them out, as with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they have not known." This prediction began to be fulfilled with the destruction of Solomon's temple in the 70 years' captivity in Babylon, but it has continued all down the centuries since. Israel has been sifted among all nations, tossed about like corn is sifted in a sieve, Amos 9, verse 9, until the times of the Gentiles are ended. How perfectly this prophecy has been fulfilled, history proclaims, and the clause relating to the land has been verified also. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through or returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. This has absolutely been the case as regards the people to whom the land of Palestine belongs. It has been without its owners. It is the pleasant land as relating to Jehovah, the land of his delight, and it shall return to the people of his delight, who have been without their land for 1900 years. The Lord, his people, and their land shall all be reunited one of these glorious days. Zechariah chapter 8 gives us the positive answer to the question which had been asked by the men Sherezer, meaning prince of the treasury, and Regemmelech, meaning the official from the king. These names show that those men represent the people who are thus instructed by his reply to the question relating to the fast. He is going to change them into feasts. The answer in Zechariah 8 is one of the greatest and most expressive prophecies in the Bible of Israel's future. Some of the predictions are found in no other portion of Scripture. Therefore, we may rejoice that these two distinguishing officials came up from Bethel to interrogate the priests in Jerusalem. Someday we shall take wing and sail far up beyond the azure gate. The universe is wide, then nevermore shall we bewail our straitened lot and our sad fate, and nevermore shall men deride when we the crystal river ride. Let them who will remain on earth, but we must mount and upward ride. Our spirit longs to sail to realm of life and love and mirth above the moon on the north side. Our golden craft shall weather gale and land us safely without fail.